It's the Popmatic Podcast for October 19th, 2016.
If you look at it as an industry providing entertainment for people who need to be entertained, okay, it's doing its job. But I have a different view of music. I think that it has an aesthetic importance that goes beyond chart placement.
This is WPOP All Pop Radio. I mean, it's the Popmatic Podcast, where you can rock slash rap slash country slash jazz slash emo pop your way your library card out. I'm definitely not Jeremy, and joining me today are...
Bill.
Sarah.
Amanda.
Just kidding, I'm Mike. Ha ha ha. So, I'm stealing Jeremy's notes, for he's not here today. Hey, hey, hey.
He's food hungover from last
artful
week.
Thievery. He ate too much strange cake and delicious cookies. So far, our October has provided a feast for your eyes and for your stomach. But now we're going to have a feat as in a musical feat as in little feet. Man, I thought my notes were bad. All right. Today, it's music. But we're not going to talk about Kim Costello or Elvis Gordon.
Oh, that's good. We've locked Jeremy in a piece somewhere. He's banging, no, why?
She's got a book.
Let me out. That's wrong. Don't be confused.
Oh, so what do you have, DJ Amanda, for today's musical tunage vibrations?
Wiki. Okay, so one day I came back to my desk after lunch and the book fairy had been to my office.
Ooh.
There was a new advanced reader copy of a book on my desk with a note that simply said, enjoy. It was magical. So the book was called Moscow Nights, The Van Cliburn Story, How One Man and His Piano Transformed the Cold War. So it's kind of a thick book just because it's a long title and they had to have room to put it. So
that's how that works.
So having been a piano player for most of my life, I knew who Van Cliburn was. Funnily, I thought his name was like Bob Van Cliburn. Like Van Cliburn was his whole name, but his
first name is like Vandal or
given
something.
It's short for something I can't remember. But so his actual first name is Van. That's how you address
Van Cliburn.
Yes.
Mr. Cliburn's full name is Harvey LeVan Cliburn Jr.
So I didn't really, know much more than just a cursory overview of his story. The book sounded intriguing, but, a lot of music books sound good on the outside, but when you actually start to read them, they get a bit dry. ask me how I know. So I was afraid this was kind of going to be one of those books, so I just put it on my shelf for a later time, maybe when my reading pile would be smaller, which never actually happens. So then as we approached October and started discussing potential options for podcast topics, this book kind of popped back into my mind. And, I've read a lot of challenging long-term books for the podcast. So if this one did get bumpy, at least I had the extra motivation of the podcast to help me make a good effort. So here's the good news. The book is awesome! Once I started it, I didn't want to put it down, and it didn't just talk about Van Cliburn. It also covered the Cold War, Russian history, along with other world events. And I thought it was pretty well paced and evenly balanced, and basically it was just a delight to read. I plowed through all 366 pages in about 3 days, so that's about the fastest I've ever read a music book like that. So the basic premise is that Van Cliburn, as an American pianist, travels to Moscow in 1958 at the height of the Cold War to compete in the first annual Tchaikovsky competition. Now, there's a sidebar. For those of you who don't know, professional classical soloists compete around the world in competitions all of the time. This is part of the way they earn money. It's also how they get, like, when you go to a concert and there's these concertos how'd they find the soloist? Well, they probably won a competition.
Oh.
So that's how they get dates. It's kind of like American Idol, but without Simon Cowell and with good music.
Ouch.
Burn
card.
Read, though.
So in this case, the Soviets had pretty much stacked the deck in order to assure their victory to prove their Cold War superiority. But somehow Van Cliburn came in and managed to beat them all and win. Mm-hmm. So this victory gave him lifetime fame and recognition throughout the Soviet Union. To kind of put it in perspective, he was bigger than Elvis. And then later, he was even bigger than the Beatles.
Hmm.
So I guess that throws in Jesus, too, in that mix. But
even
in the United States, the two musicians that were the biggest were Elvis and Van Cliburn. There's kind of a story of one Elvis fan club that actually changed to a Van Cliburn fan club after the members saw him perform in Chicago. So that was... Take that, Elvis.
Yeah, see, really.
I'm just focused on, you know, if there's a Reader's Digest concise version of this book, it could be about Minnie Van Cliburn.
Nice.
Okay. So this book was one of the better music books I've read in a while. It also motivated me to start seriously practicing for my upcoming Christmas concert, which was a side benefit and had been lacking. So thank you to my book fairy friend, Lori, for saving this book for me. And thank you to the Podmatic Podcast for motivating me to actually read it. Now, the book is pretty much brand new. It came out less than a month ago in September, but the library does have a couple copies, so you can check yours out today.
Sarah? Well, the possibilities are endless when it comes to discussing music, especially this month, but I narrowed my choices down to movies. Soundtracks, that is. When I'm not in the mood to hear words with my music, I usually turn to movie soundtracks, specifically scores. There's something that both fills my brain with glorious sound, but also allows me to dig deeper into what I'm working on. Like a soundtrack for my work, you could say. A short list of my favorites, and don't judge me here.
Judge me.
The Pirates of the Caribbean soundtracks, specifically the third movie, At World's End, the Lord of the Rings soundtracks, and, of course, Titanic. Nothing like listening to impending doom while writing your weekly podcast to get the juices flowing.
Okay. That's what Mike does.
Oh, yeah. More later.
Exactly. Teaser alert. Yeah. But the best of the best, in my opinion, will be performed and viewed at the Schermerhorn Symphony Center for their Movies at the Schermerhorn event, yearly event, as we already said. And it's starting soon. They're all movies with scores composed by John Williams, so you know they'll be good. The first one coming up is Jurassic Park. And you know you would love to hear this particular score performed live, especially while the movie plays on screen. A few fun facts about the film. The composition was evidently made at Skywalker Ranch, George Lucas's ranch getaway, at the same time when the sound from the film was being edited. Williams said that this helped him receive inspiration from the dinosaur noises. And another rather interesting fact about the film, the sound of the T-Rex roaring is actually the sound of a baby elephant mixed with a tiger and an alligator, and its breath is a whale's blow. Yeah, remember that.
Wow.
And do you think the orchestra at the Schermerhorn will have an instrument that sounds like a T-Rex, or at least that noise combination?
I don't think a trombone would come pretty close.
Interesting,
I bet you could make it happen.
See if Jumbo at the zoo has a child they can bring in.
Yeah, really, there you go. Well, anyway, this event takes place November 13th at 7. The next movie screening and performance is for one of the best holiday movies, as we already mentioned, Home Alone. It's okay. Well, Kevin is busy. Kevin is busy being a resourceful kid and defending his house from some unintelligent bad guys. You can listen live to this classic masterpiece. I hope they have someone in their chorus that can yell an impressive, Kevin! That would make it feel real.
And now we play the Wet Bandits suite.
Sticky Bandits. STI.
Yeah, That's the second one.
That's the second one, yep. Yeah. Some facts here. The film's theme song was Somewhere in My Memory, and it was nominated for both an Oscar and a Grammy. And another fun fact, I thought this was kind of hilarious. The actor Joe Pesci, who plays one of the Wet Bandits, had to be coached on the set to curb excessive profanity while filming intense scenes.
I believe that.
That does not surprise me.
I was surprised when I learned who he was. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they also read that, what's his name? I can't remember.
Daniel Stern?
No, somebody else. Not him, but there was another actor that auditioned for the role of Harry but didn't get it. Famous actor, Robert De Niro. There's the actor.
Mm.
Yes.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah, he turned down the role for it. But anyway, okay, so.
But he said yes to Bad Grandpa.
Yeah.
I know, right? 30 years later. Yeah. Sure. Still on a gold mine.
He still ain't standards.
Yeah, back then. Yeah. He didn't do stuff for money.
Didn't think the movie was going to do so well, huh? Now it's a cult classic. Yeah. And okay, so this one, you can check out Home Alone on December 4th, and it has two performances at 1 and 7 o'clock in that evening. Well, so the best for last, my absolute most favorite soundtrack compilation of all time, and on my calendar to attend, a movie night for both the first and second Harry Potter movies, Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets. The last movies, Deathly Hallows, are my favorite scores of all the movies, hands down. What a cool way, to experience the movies. I sort of wish this is how the movies were released originally, with a live orchestra right on stage to add the extra effect. The only fact I have here is sort of obvious. The main theme of Harry Potter, known as Hedwig's theme, was written by John Williams, of course, and obviously carried throughout the movies, despite having four different composers. I'm guessing this movie will be popular, so that's why there are four performances scheduled starting January 5th at 7. I might wait until the Chamber of Secrets night in May to see them, but we'll see. The calendar also shows a DreamWorks movie night and an E.T. night in June, but that's the furthest scheduled events. Who knows what else they could show? Maybe Star Wars?
Saw Raiders of the Lost Ark earlier this year. It was pretty fun.
Yeah?
Note, when you buy a ticket, specify which seat you want and don't do what I did and just go like, I'll take any seat. So I had one two rows from the front of the stage.
Oh, my.
Looking, having a crick in my neck for like two hours. Of,
yeah.
It was still pretty worth it, though, because you could like hear.
I like being close to the orchestra, but yeah, try to screen the screen from there. Yeah.
And, but it was kind of neat, like hearing, you know. Downside is if you're a dedicated movie nerd and you've watched some of these movies a bunch of times, the Foley work like isn't you could barely hear like the punches or like the bullets.
Oh, because they took the soundtrack off.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. So the words, yes, but the sound effects, not so much.
Wow. So they need a guy off stage on like a plywood board that's doing all the Foley work.
That'd be great.
On top of mic that up.
We'll do.
Well, that's one way to do it. And what you got, Bill?
As you know. It's kind of you good when
see, it mix. It's almost like I planned this.
As you know, I have a love of cinema, and I also have a love of film music. And John Barry, one of my favorite, was an English composer who composed and conducted film music. He is best known for giving James Bond his unique sound. He scored 11 James Bond movies between 1963 through 1987. I'm a huge fan of John Barry. He was both prolific and amazing quality to his work. John Barry also worked in a wide variety of genres. I mentioned James Bond, but he also did music for a different kind of spy movie, The Quiller Memorandum and The Ipcress File.
Ooh.
He scored comedies, The Knack and How to Get It and The Wrong Box, westerns, Monty Walsh, Dances with Wolves, war movies, King Rat, Murphy's War, and Zulu, dramas, Petula and Midnight Cowboy, thrillers, Seance on a Wet Afternoon, and Body Heat.
Oh, wow.
Historical dramas, Jeez. Lion in Winter, and Mary Queen of Scots.
You give Brian too much to do.
Yeah.
And let's not forget Born Free, for crying out loud. He also did the music for Star Crash in 1976. Yeah. King
Star
Kong.
Crash. I put that on his resume.
We won't go there.
That was early on.
Let's not go there.
Oh, wow.
So John Barry conducted a wide range of movies. So, Bill, how can I listen to this great music? With your trusty library card, go to the library website to Hoopla, type in John Barry, and find a treasure trove of John Barry's music. Awesome. Let me recommend one, John Barry, The Collection, 40 years of film music, where you will find all the scores I mentioned and more. Oh, and I forgot Out of Africa, too. So, what are you waiting for? Mike!
He's still writing?
No,
he passed away. Okay, I couldn't remember if I'd heard if he was still writing or not.
Well, I prefer Strawberry myself. So, much like last year, I've been using both Spotify and YouTube to discover new music and bands and such. But unlike last year, where I was just trying anything that came to mind, like Cambodian rock and roll and Brazilian new African jazz funk.
That's my favorite.
This year, thanks to starting at the beginning with the Ash vs. Evil Dead soundtrack and Too Much Ghost, I've been focusing on modern psychedelic rock and or stoner rock and or doom metal, depending on what you're looking at, because trying to classify bands is a fool's errand, and I'm a professional classifier. There's a bunch of bands that like, sound like Black Sabbath and or Jefferson Airplane. Mostly, they sound like Coven, which is a band I'll go into more detail later because we don't have it. But the bands I'm going to mention next are all available on Freegal. So since this is Shocktober, I'll be recommending all bands that talk about the devil. And not like the LSD is like totally far out, man. Style psychedelic, man.
Not when you spin the record backwards either.
this set, we need to tune in, drop out, that other thing. Yeah, groovy. Let's start out with Blood Ceremony, a band out of Toronto that combines prog rock, horror, and Jethro Tully and flautist histrionics. Many of their songs reference horror movies, why most of one album was essentially a Wicker Man concept album, but significantly less extraordinarily boring than the Wicker Man.
Nicolas Cage version?
Both. not even Naked Lady could say the first one. They came out with a CD this year called Lord of Misrule. So you could listen to a song called The Devil's Widow. Next up is a band from England called Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats. They seem to be a kind of name in this kind of psychedelic, prog, whatever, new wave. They have hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube, and you can buy their entire discography at Grimey's. They are so dedicated to their late 60s, early 70s sound that they only use vintage instruments and equipment. And I know praising album cover is super lame, but I really like their aesthetic. It's all like this kind of like black and a primary color. And, you know, one has like this English Bobby looking all like evil. It's great. Very alternative movie posters. Very cool. Here's a song called Ritual Knife off of their album Bloodlust. Doing the evil voice. lastly, I think I'll praise a band called The Devil's Blood, a band from the Netherlands. Of the three I recommend today, they're the ones who are most heavily into Satanism, although from their lyrics it sounds to be more like Anton LaVey-style narcissistic atheism with shock value devil imagery theatrics than genuine Satan worship. Oh, hot take.
Posers.
Yeah, that's right.
Mouth breathers.
You know, I mean, you know, you should just go eat babies like cool people.
that was last week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. And Jeremy, have a tangent. They are, alas, no more. They disbanded after three albums, which is a pity because I love one song so much from an album called The Thousandfold Epicenter that I totally would have seen them live since they were in Nashville 4 years ago. Anywho, here's a song called On the Wings of Gloria.
Yeah.
top 5 favorite beach discoveries this year. It's great. I love it. Hail Satan.
Now let's put our hands together and conjure up Satan.
Yeah.
I'm going to step out for a minute.
May you know.
The swords be with you.
May
the swords be with you.
Hey guys.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
What do we do here on Tug of My Fancy?
Well, maybe the library has it. Maybe the library doesn't. But either way, it's tickling our fancy.
Amanda.
Okay, so enough of all this Shocktober. I have lost count of how many Christmas concerts that I have played here at the Nashville Public Library. I think it's either 7 or 8, I can't remember. But with the exception of year 5 when I got married, so I only had time to put together a greatest hits concert, I have never repeated a song, except one. And that, of course, would be Christmas Time Is Here by Vince Guaraldi, and you probably know it better as that Charlie Brown song.
Okay.
That's the Charlie Brown song. Yes, I did. So did you know that you can check out the piano sheet music for it from the library?
Holy sheet.
I know, that's right. You're going to hell. Made fun of Vince Guaraldi and Charlie Brown.
I think that song is great. I was exclaiming surprise.
So the book is called A Charlie Brown Christmas, and the library has a copy that you can check out. It's only the middle of October, so that still gives you plenty of time to learn this piece and practice it before the holiday season. Now, imagine going to a holiday party and casually walking over to the piano, because everybody who's anybody here in Nashville has a piano in their house, and then busting out this bad boy. So you would definitely be on Santa's list for the nice year, or Santa's nice list for the year. Sorry, talking is fun. So the book is for intermediate students. Now, if you can't read music, you might have a little trouble. But besides Christmas Time Is Here, the book also features skating, which is a fun exercise in running thirds if you feel your fingers don't have enough knots in them, as well as O Tannenbaum, which I've actually put on my concert for this year. Now, if you've heard me play any of these, you'll know I don't always play them exactly as written. Come on, y'all, I'm a professional after all. But even if you follow every note, they're fun, magical pieces to play that will guarantee to get you in the holiday mood. Plus, in the world of jazz, it's so much easier to hide wrong notes that I guarantee most people won't even know you missed anything. So as my jazz teacher always used to say, there are no wrong notes, only wrong resolutions. So check this book out. Let's get the party started, because after all, Christmas time is almost here.
Nice. Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm not going to talk about Christmas.
You can. It's okay.
I'm not talking about Shocktober either. But I am teasing.
Reason with the season.
I might be teasing for December's best music list then. I'm not sure yet. But considering Jimmy Eat World is one of my favorite bands ever, absolute favorite, and they're coming out with a new album this month. Well, there's a pretty good chance I'll love this album, so maybe they'll be on my best list. I don't seem obvious, do I? Don't judge me if the only song you've heard of theirs is The Middle. It just takes some time, little girl, in a little out the ride. Everything will be just fine. Everything will be alright.
So much non-judgy.
Yeah, please don't judge me. Now, the rest of that first album is pretty good, too. If you've seen the movie Van Wilder, you've heard a lot of it, actually. But back to the new album. I almost wrecked my car the other day when I heard them say on the radio that they were releasing a new album.
Whoa.
Try explaining that
Watch
one to
out.
The cops.
Yeah.
Well, officer, it just takes some time, but everything will be all right. Yeah. Anyway, the new album.
We have this ticket for awesomeness.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, the new album is called Integrity Blues, and it drops October 21st. I don't know if it will come up to scratch with their 2004 album Futures or even Bleed American, but they haven't released a bad one yet. Although I'm not a huge fan of Static Prevails, but that's a separate argument that I'm sure a few fellow Jimmy Eat lovers would love to have. But if you want to judge for yourself, Hoopla has most of their albums available to stream. You'll find their heavier stuff, but not too heavy, on Bleed American, and their more emo ballad side on Futures. More of their alternative side comes out in their more recent albums, such as Invented and Damage. Based on the three songs available to download from their new album on iTunes, though, this album is more alternative, pop-ish than their first, but right on track with their current sound. Actually, the current hit single, I guess you can call it, even though I don't think it's been officially released on the radio yet, it's called Sure and Certain, sounds a lot like tunes found on Better Than Ezra's Before the Robots album.
I tried to change, happened in past, leaving me the same. Of course it must be something else, leading questions I might ask myself.
I think I can articulate why I think this, but it does. Maybe it's the slow guitar progression in the beginning. Maybe. I don't know. But I saw them a couple of years ago, Jimmy Eat World that is, when they played at the Cannery Ballroom and again at Marathon Music Works. Different set lists each time, but equally as energetic of a show. They're not coming here on their latest tour. Sad face.
Oh.
I know. But I can dream for the future. I'm sure.
Road trip.
Exactly. They are coming to Louisville.
See? It's
so,
a couple hours.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
That's yep. So bad.
Mm-hmm. Done it before for Kings of Leon. But I'm sure Hoopla will have their new album when it releases on October 21st. Until then, if you're listening, sing it back.
Previously on the Popmatic Podcast. $10 if anybody can work Boombox into whatever they wrote about today.
Or check out the new Boombox.
All right.
You can look on local bands on there that might sound just like Jimmy
Evil
World.
Robot will spit out $10 for you now.
Woo, 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 woo. Bring it.
That's some pennies. What? Yep. He truly is evil.
It's a penny. All right, Bill. What you got?
Tickling my fancy is a book. I guess we can call it Suspense-tober. All the Missing Girls by Megan Miranda. I'm just going to read part of a review from the Los Angeles Book Review because it kind of sums it up briefly. A masterful psychological suspense debut about the disappearance of two young women a decade apart, told in reverse. All I got to say is it's a page-turner. I really enjoyed it. It was one of those books was like, oh, I need to clean the house. No, this is more important. So I'm just highly recommending All the Missing Girls by Megan Miranda, and it's going to be on in my top three for books of the year.
I don't know if that was any good. Exciting. Solid.
Yeah, and you've got a little bit of a waiting list, but that's good. It's worth the wait.
Wow. You know, you'll stay in Suspense-tober until you get it later.
Mike.
Oh, it's kind of weird that we live in an age when you can pick any band from, like, before, like, 1999, and there's a zillion bands that sound exactly like that or try to copy everything they've ever done or whatever. For example, Coven is a band from the late 60s that really leaned into Black Magic and the Dim. We don't have it because we're pure, but you can look on YouTube or Amazon. Their biggest hit was from the soundtrack to Billy Jack, a boring movie about a hippie who punches people.
Anybody famous in it?
Was it Tom Laughlin?
Yeah, Tom Laughlin. Howard Hessman's in it, too.
Howard Hessman?
Yeah, he's...
Wow, that's cool. Anywho, the story goes that their manager hired a songwriter who was given a bunch of books on witchcraft, and he was tasked with somehow making decent rock songs out of them. They recorded a grand total of three albums, yet were influential enough for bands around the world to pick up their sound decades later. Why, you know, Spotify is just littered with, like, you know, tragic lead singer lady fronting a band full of, like, scruffy nerds singing about the devil. I really like the song Wicked Woman from their debut album, Witchcraft Destroys Minds and Reaps Souls.
Tell me how you really feel, yeah.
She cuts a man's heart, making deep gashes. She blazes like wildfire, love turns into ashes. What she's doing today, oh my, weep and cry, her incantation's reserved.
only on Tuesday.
Yep.
They cut that part in post-production.
Witchcraft Wednesdays. Witchcraft Wednesdays. Next October, I'm just watching, you know, man, Witch Board. Witch Boards 1 through 8. the Vivitch.
The Devil Inside Me. Joan Collins.
Maybe not that one. Did anybody have corrections for last week?
Okay, I had a couple. I was in listening back. I don't know where my brain was last week, but so we talked about mullet eggs, and it's M-O-L-L-E-T, not M-U-L-L-E-T. And I don't know why I didn't correct it in the first time. So
wow. Anyway. Yeah, I kept picturing ape drape, hockey hair.
So and then also when you. I think I said I upped the temperature to 350 when I made the Arlettes. I upped it to 375. So just for clarification, if you're
That's why mine didn't turn out.
I know. See, I wrecked it for everybody. Talking is fun.
Well done. Yes. when I listened back to two, I was like, man, what was I thinking? It must have been eating, I guess.
I was worried about the food. I didn't care about what I was saying.
Yeah, I'm just like staring at cookies and cake the whole time.
Hungry.
I recommended a book at the end of my talk about 50 Shades of Chicken, and I said 50 Shades of Chicken again, when it actually was the book of 50 Shades of Bacon. So, just in case you want to understand the difference between chicken and bacon.
But black and white pictures of bacon is just less sexy than,
Yeah, not as good.
Bill just looking at Meeks Bentley. Okay.
He just wants some bacon.
Taking pictures of it. Yeah, bacon. That's a little too, I'm sorry.
Too highbrow.
Yeah.
Too early.
For more books from Toshin on Helmut Newton and bacon, you could go to
www.library.nashville.org.
The show was edited by an evil robot.
And our theme music is by
Adam Dean.
Next week, I take the reins again for Shocktober Reigns.
Dun dun dun.
Something for your murder holes, gang. Blood drip, blood drip. All right.
Gory good time.
It'll be glorious. I think I put that. All right. Now another sad clap. Bands that actually do music, but sounds like, anyway, bands like this, edit. You will edit this now. No, I'm not. I'm going to make you look stupid.